We've been looking as a church at two chapters in Luke, Luke 9 and Luke 10, and we're coming halfway through Luke 10 now, and we're looking at this amazingly familiar story, but with a really powerful punch. The parable of the Good Samaritan. You might have heard about it when you were growing up. You may be familiar with it, but we're going to read it now and then just spend a few moments on this Mother's Day as we think about mums and mercy, as we think about living free. What does this have to say to us this morning? So Luke 10, verse 25 to 37, and it's page 1042. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense which you may have." Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Let me pray as we think and reflect on this passage. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story that Jesus told. Speak to us now, I pray, through it. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this past week, with this passage open in front of me and also knowing that it was Mother's Day today, I've been digging and exploring and just thinking about mothers and different stories about mothers and picking up different books and finding different things. And I found this little quote about someone who was asked about their mum and about where they were born, and they said this: "How was it that you were born in Scunthorpe?" And the man replied, "Well, you see, I thought it was important to be near my mum." Made me smile as well. There's a whole lot of rubbish out there as well, but there's a whole lot that's actually really useful. And I picked up off my shelf a book called The 60-Minute Mother by Rob Parsons. Rob Parsons has written some amazing stuff about parenting. And if you want any of his books, Dave Reese, who runs a bookshop, and you can order stuff here. But this really struck me. And I know from talking to mums and from my wife's conversations with mums that being a mother is challenging. And where would we be without mums? I mean, let's be honest. Where would any of us be without our mums? But you know, one of the things that mums find is that often it's such a challenge being a mum that feelings of guilt for not being as good a mum as they could be come and grab hold of them. And as I was reading this, there was a great little a great little quote which Rob Parsons uses of a mother who sums up something about motherhood. And I thought rather than me read it, it would be great to get one of the mums in the church who's good at reading stuff to come and do that. So Lisa, thank you so much for being willing to do this. Lisa's just going to come and read a quote from a mum that I think will just help us prepare for digging into this passage together. So thank you so much, Lisa. Here we go. This is someone who Rob Parsons interviewed.
It's a disease prevalent among mothers. You'll recognise the symptoms when you hear phrases such as, I'm sorry, but, or I know I ought to, but. If you ask a mother if she goes out to work, she might reply, no, I'm only a housewife and mother. Or perhaps, yes, I do, but it's only part-time and she really loves going to the childminder and I'm always back for bedtime and we have quality time together when I'm not at work. The disease is called guilt. We sufferers feel the need to justify ourselves to others, to apologise for our actions and to constantly compare our own shortcomings to those of other people. The guilt grows with the child, reaching peaks when everybody else's child is potty trained first and seems to reach all the other milestones earlier too. You should have put her name down earlier for that really good school. Now her whole future career is spoilt because you were too late. You should have been there for sports day, even though it was your grandmother's funeral that afternoon. You should have noticed that this wasn't just teenage angst and wanting time off school. It was actually glandular fever. You're guilty because you leave your child and go out to work while the woman next door is an at-home mum. What you don't realise is that the woman next door is feeling guilty because she isn't contributing to the family income and because she is only a housewife. And she's feeling inadequate because she watches how well you cope with career and family. Why can't we decide what's right for us as a family and go ahead and do it? Whether it's breastfeeding, going back to work, moving house, having another child, without worrying so much. Answer? Because we're mothers, and motherhood goes with guilt like a horse and carriage.
So much, Lisa. That's the courage there. Thank you. Well, Parson goes on and says, for mothers, something that increases these pressures of feelings of guilt are the expectations around them, the sense of isolation that mums in society can so often feel, the experts around who write in all the columns. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, though, I also thought there is actually in this story of the Good Samaritan, I think a reason why mums feel guilty when sometimes even more than, I don't know, dads or others in society or the children around them. And I think it's because mums, by and large, love deeply. And you know, if you don't love, then you don't have to wrestle with how well you're doing it. You know, Paul Simon wrote that famous song, didn't he? I'm a rock, I am an island, and a rock feels no pain. An island never dies. Splendid isolation where you don't need to worry about dealing with hurt or feeling of guilt of whether you're loving someone as you should be. But you know, mums, they often epitomize something of the Good Samaritan here. They're often, I can imagine, mums who do come and when their child's in trouble, they wrap them up in bandages and help them and sort them out and get them settled and everything like that. And the challenge I think for all of us here today is that this call in the passage is not just for mums to be better mums or to somehow lower the standard. The call is for all of us as mums treat their children when they're doing it the best. For all of us to have that kind of attitude to everyone around us, even if they might be someone who ordinarily we would see as an enemy. That's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And you see, part of the challenge of this passage, as you get into it, is that the man, he kind of knows that love is important. And we come this morning probably wanting to be good sons and daughters to our moms, or wanting to be good neighbors to those around us. Or if your mom's wanting to be good, moms to your children, or husbands to your wives. And so we come knowing that love is important. But as soon as we face this call, and it's a strong call, isn't it, in the beginning of this passage, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We want to do what this young man in our story does. We can end up wanting to justify ourselves. You see that verse 29, he said this, but he wanted to justify himself, so he asked, who is my neighbor? We as it were, put on masks. I don't know if you find this, you do it, whether as a mom or in your, you think about calling your mom today, and we kind of try to justify ourselves. So we kind of put on a mask, and I'm guilty of this. You know, I wish I'd done more for my mom this Mother's Day. She lives over the other side of the world, but I'm a busy pastor and it's been a crazy week. And maybe you know what it's like to make those kind of excuses. Try and justify myself. You even say it to them. Hey, you know what? I wish I'd done more, but. You know, we try and say, you know, we'd love them like this, but the problem is that they're like that. Or, you know, didn't I start like that? I said, well, she's the other side of the world. Or, you know, my kids are not here, and so it's harder to do something for them. Or, you know, and we that's just with those who are nearest and dearest to us. You start adding into there the people we've been talking about, those who are struggling in Japan, or those who are still struggling in Indonesia and Sri Lanka after all that, or all the others. You start adding in those, and the masks come up even more. And it's like, well, it's not just, I'm doing okay as a mom, come on, back off, give me time, I'm busy anyway, or I'm not, you know, it's like, come on, relax, I'm just struggling to hold it all together here. And so we put on this veneer that we've got life sorted, that we love better than we do. And it's pseudo-solving the problem of our guilt. Doesn't really deal with it, but it kind of puts on a veneer. Oh, how we love to put on a veneer. Well, it's actually what this parable does, is it comes and it gets right through our mask, right through, as it were, our makeup that we put on. It comes through our defenses as Jesus challenges this man who's trying to justify himself. And he's asking good questions. He's asking questions that I think and I hope many of us also want to ask this morning. You know, what we want to go to heaven, and he asks, what can I do to inherit eternal life? He wants to know what he should do. And he's asking Jesus. And he's wanting to know what it is to fulfill this command. And I hope you're coming wanting to know these things. But guys, let's be prepared for an answer that is challenging to hear. Because Jesus wants to expose reality to us. He wants to actually reveal to us, mums or dads, or us as children, or just as neighbors, what the reality really is. And the reality is really challenging. The reality is that while we so often, we want to think about about our neighbor or our kids or our mom and their situation, and how we can best support them in their scenario. And so this man asks the question, doesn't he? In Luke 10:29, he says this, and who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus, in telling this story, he's going to turn that question around. John Piper has a very helpful quote. He's a pastor of a church and an author. And he says this, Jesus tells this story, a story that changes the question from what kind of person is my neighbor to what kind of person am I? He changes the question from what status of people are worthy of my love to how can I become the kind of person whose compassion disregards status? You see, you could have expected the priest as he walks by. It was one of his own who was in the ditch. You could have expected that he would stop, but even the priest didn't. You could have expected the Levite. It was one of his own who was in the ditch, but even the Levite didn't stop. You know, we have an expectation, almost rightly so, where we're shocked when mums or dads don't be the kind of mums or dads or husbands to wives. There's an expectation there. It's of their own. Yes, we should love. Yes, we should be shocked that they didn't stop. But Jesus, he doesn't just point to them and point the bad finger. What he does is he exposes even more how great is this command to love your neighbor. And he says this Samaritan, this one who had no need to stop. He could have made so many reasons why it wouldn't have been worth his time to stop for a Jew. Samaritans and Jews didn't get on. Jews felt that they would, be unclean if they spent time with Samaritans. They were to be separate. They were to worship in different places. And so this Samaritan who knew all that, who knew that the Jews by and large didn't like the Samaritans. So he was going to help someone who probably didn't even like him. And yet he stops. And he doesn't just stop. I've been struck as I've been reading it afresh. Some little things in it. He says he went to him. He took pity on him. He showed mercy. He bandaged his wounds. Verse 34, he put on oil. That would have been good, wouldn't it? He didn't stop there. He put on oil and wine. He didn't just stop there. He put him on his donkey. He didn't just stop there. He took him to the inn. He didn't just stop there. He said, look, here's some money for his board and lodging. He went out of his way. Sacrificial generosity. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, you know, it's one thing for me to think, how do I love my wife today on Mother's Day? How do I love my mom? How do I love my children? And I want desperately to be a good dad, a good husband, a good son. And some days I feel like I do that just about. Well, I'd like to keep growing it, but some days, you know, those days you think, that was a good family day. But I tell you what, when I see this parable, I have to recognize that so often I'm not like the Samaritan, I'm like the Levite and the priest I walk past. You know, I just found some pictures that just reminded me of people I know I've walked past. I don't know, there's a lady who could well be homeless. There's people who sometimes have all the bags, bin bags, and you know, the picture doesn't even have a face, and so often we just walk by. And it's not just that we don't just chuck a few coins to satisfy our guilt, it's that actually we don't even realize and care often that they've got a story, they've got a name. God loves them. Kids on the right, they're street kids. They're often smiling. Sometimes they can feel a bit aggressive. I don't know if you know how many street kids there are around the world. If you've been to a place like India or Nairobi or Addis, or there's a lot of them. In fact, around the world, they estimate between 100 to 150 million street kids living on their own, on the streets, aged between 5 and 17. But they're not my kids. Yeah, but they're someone's kids. And they're actually kids whose, for whatever reason, parents have not supported them, or have had to leave home, or they've ended up on the streets, or they've been orphaned. And we, although we might not have street kids in Brighton and Hove, hey, don't pretend we didn't know that there were street kids around the world. We choose so often to pass by on the other side. You know, and in our culture, sometimes it's not just the kids, is it? This is a picture of an elderly lady in a nursing home. The number of people who are shut in nursing homes in our city, in our nation, and who barely get people come and visit them. Well, we're busy, don't you know? And there's this, and there's that, and there's that, and there's that. And we walk past. And these are just young people. These are young people from Wales, streets of Wales. They're often the ones that you kind of want to walk past because you think they might get aggressive. You see here, whether it's, you might be thinking, how good a mum are you being to your mum? Well, what about other people's mums? What about caring for them or their grandmoms? Or you think about your own kids today, well, what about other people's kids? What about those with no parents? Jesus comes and says, you want to get to heaven? Expert in the law. You want to get to heaven? You want to know what it means to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and love your neighbor as yourself? What are you going to do with these? Are you going to be the kind of person who just says, not my problem, thank you, I'm walking past? Or are you going to be the kind of person who doesn't just ask, is this person deserving of my love? But you're the kind of person who, wherever you meet, need and sense God's leading, you're going to say, right, I'm going to respond with love. And when I see these pictures, when I think of this, when I tell you I'm someone who loves the words of Jesus, who I want to do what he has to say, each time I realize I don't meet this. I am not just someone who sometimes feels guilty for not being a good dad or husband or friend or son or neighbor. I am someone who is guilty of breaking the royal law to love. And here it is in black and white, folks. We all break the royal law of love. And I'm sorry to drive this home on Mother's Day, but it's not just mums that you sometimes feel guilty. It's not just dads you sometimes feel guilty that you don't love as you should. The reality is we are guilty, we don't. And it's not just mums and dads. It is all of us. None of us are without excuse. And it's a big problem. And I want to talk, just as we close, about how we let this passage not be one that makes us feel guilty, but how do we let this passage be one that inspires us because we find that our guilt can be removed? How does that story that Lisa was reading earlier, how do we minister to mums today and say there is hope? Well, we find hope by discovering that there is not a need to justify ourselves, to make excuses, to put on a mask, to pretend the reality is not there. We actually can discover one who justifies us. One who brings us freedom, one who deals with our guilt. This is the amazing thing in this passage, that this man wants to know how to get eternal life. And eternal life is inherited not because of what we do, but because of who we become in Christ through what God has done for us. You see, God loves in this kind of way. God loves in the way like the Good Samaritan, where he comes to those who feel battered and bruised, who feel like things have been robbed for them. Maybe you're a mom here and you do feel from just the challenges of life, kind of battered and bruised and like special things have been robbed from you. And God loves you. He comes and ministers to you. Maybe you're here today, not a mum, but just life has actually been cruel. Maybe it's even in this whole area of you would have loved to have had a husband or a relationship and it's not worked out. And you know, you feel bruised and God comes. He loves you. He comes and wants to pour oil and minister to your wounds, to your hurts, to lift you up, to take away your guilt, to wipe you clean, to set you free. One of the most powerful things I've heard this week about a mum has been at our Tuesday afternoon service, where we just had a mum give a testimony. And I don't know, Katie, maybe even from up there, you could just shout out what you said. And this is Katie, a new mum, and she just shared this. So, that struck me. I see how much Katie loves Alice. I see how these new mums, they love their kids. And God loves me more than that. God loves you more than that. And he loves you with action. These mums, they come and they look after their kids. They do this stuff for them. God loves in action. He so loved the world. The Bible says that, we've got it up here on the screen, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible says in other places, in Romans, this amazing thing here. Now, apart from the law, a righteousness of God has been made known. So apart from this royal law of loving God and loving your neighbor from yourself, there's another way in which we can be made righteous, to which the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, testify. This righteousness from God, this perfection from God, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned. All of us have not kept the royal law and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified, made right freely by his grace through the redemption, through the freedom, through the rescue that came by Christ Jesus. Do you want mums, dads, children, neighbors to be free of guilt? Do you want to be justified? Well, don't try and do it yourself. I cannot do it myself. Praise God that Jesus has come and justified us. And believe in him. Trust in him. Say sorry to him that you've broken his law. Say thank you to him that he loved you enough to die for you, to make you part of his family, to forgive you, as we've been hearing in these testimonies, and say, please, please God, help me live for you. Help me follow your way of love. Let us be free to love, to be inspired by the Good Samaritan and not feel guilty about it. Because this is the amazing thing, that God frees us from guilt and he inspires us to love. Let him do that for you this morning, moms. Let him do that for you this morning, dads. Let him do that for you, whoever you are. Be free this morning. You don't need to leave, feel guilty. You can leave being free and saying, yes, Jesus, I want to love like you did. So I want to pray right now, and I want to invite you to echo this prayer in your heart. If you want to know Christ's freedom this morning, I'm going to say, sorry, God, for the way we've broken your law. I'm going to thank him for the cross, and then I'm going to say, please, please come into my life. I believe in you, and I want to follow you. So let's bow our heads. Just search in your hearts. Just, do you want to remove the mask, face the reality, and ask for his help? If you do, then echo this prayer with me. Sorry, God, for how I've broken your law. I don't love as you want me to. Thank you for Jesus, that he died for me so that I could be forgiven. I believe in him. Please help me follow him and love as you love. If you prayed that prayer with me, just before we say amen, with every hair bowed, I would love to, just as your pastor here this morning, be able to know and catch your eye and encourage you on your journey. So if that was you, I'm just looking downstairs. Just please raise your hand and I'll just look up and I'll just give you a wave, catch your eye. Just anyone downstairs for whom you just echoed that prayer in your heart. Thank you. Anyone else downstairs? Thank you. Just looking upstairs now. Anyone upstairs who just echoed that prayer in your heart and you just saying, yeah, I want to live free. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you see these people who've responded this morning who want to leave with you all the guilt of the past and want to walk in your way. Lord, I thank you for them. Thank you for many others who've prayed similar prayers over the years. Lord, please, we just say we need your help. Put on our hearts, even now as we watch these folks get baptized, put on our hearts those you would have us love, even the rest of this afternoon. Turn us into the kind of people, fill us with your spirit, that we might do everything in love, I pray. For I ask in Jesus' name, amen.